Welcome to Beer, Beats, and Business, the business podcast for smart people who appreciate the insights found in a good conversation. That guy sitting at the end of the proverbial bar is your host, David J.P. Fisher, but everyone around here just calls him D. Fish. He's an author, speaker, and business coach. Basically, he's a professional talker. So grab a glass of your favorite beverage, grab a seat, and join us for today's episode. Let's see where the conversation takes us.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to another interesting conversation with an interesting person. Today, the part of that interesting person is being played by my friend, Stephanie Biocchi. Stephanie is the director of community and events at Impact, and she's also the co-leader of the Chicago HubSpot user group. She's actually been using HubSpot for 7 years across a variety of industries on the client and agency side. And she currently leads the Impact Elite Community and Plans Digital Sales and Marketing World. Stephanie, what's up?
Hey, what's up? Well, I mean, a lot of pressure there being already told I'm an interesting person. So
the pressure was all on my side because I had to make sure that I totally did not screw up your name.
You nailed it. It was perfect. And
I was pretty proud of myself. I'm not going to lie. I deserve a medal just like the sponsor for today got. I am drinking a beer from our sponsor, Old Irving Brewery.
Oh, yeah. Love them.
They're great. Good Chicago brewery. And they have a double dry hopped India Pale Ale called Beezer. Now, I'm going to be very straightforward and say this is definitely not usually in my wheelhouse. I am not an IPA guy and definitely not a hazy IPA guy. But this won gold at the Great American Beer Fest. So, you know, it's a good representation of the form. And I'm going to be straightforward. It's pretty tasty. So that is what I am drinking today. Thank you, Old Irving Brewery, for sponsoring us.
Nice. I like the vibe there. I got to ask, though. It's not one that they serve, but have you ever had the Right Bee Cider?
I have not.
Can I interrupt you with a brief story?
That's all. Why start with business stuff? Let's talk booze. Go.
I know, right? I have lots to talk about. But when I was at Old Irving last time, I had a Right Bee Cider. And the description on it says, I'm trying to remember it exactly. It's like boy meets girl, boy makes beer to woo girl. Now he's right beside her.
Oh, my. Oh, that's horrible.
I love it.
That is horrible, which makes me want to go drink one right now.
Right? It was good, too. But they serve it at Old Irving, so.
All right. I'm going to have to go visit Trevor and the team over there because, it's such a great vibe. Looking forward to seeing more and more of their beer. It's starting to get distribution, but thank you. Thank you, gentlemen and ladies over there who make great beer like this Beezer. So there we go. They just got a lot of sponsorship time. I'm
happy to help.
All right. So here's a question that I want to talk to you about. You're big into running communities.
Oh, I thought you were just going to say running. I was going to be like, you're reading the wrong survey.
No. I think you might be like me. I don't run unless chased.
Yes, exactly.
No, running communities. And community in the business world and marketing world has always been kind of weird to me. Like part of it's just because I'm not a community kind of guy. I'm a little bit of a lone wolf. But what do you see as the future of online communities, especially when we think of these kind of in a, you know, a business or marketing sense? Because I know like we used to have I'm going to show my age, Usenet groups, right? In the 90s. And then, you know, the early blogs kind of had a lot of discussion. You could comment right on blogs, forums. I mean, it's gone through so many different formats. Like, what do you see as the future of kind of online communities?
You know, it's interesting because this is not the first podcast interview conversation I've had with someone who goes, I'm not a community guy. not the first time.
I wouldn't know that because I don't hang out at the community of non-community
that
guy people.
Exactly.
Right?
Actually, the last person I talked to was from Wine and Web. Did a presentation and then we talked after about how much he hates the concept of online communities. And I was like, let me convince you otherwise. So anyway, people always tease me because they're like, oh, what do you measure? High fives and hugs? I'm like, yeah, I wish. I'd be really good at it. The thing is, communities have always existed. I mean, yes, online communities are relatively new if you're looking at like all time. But the concept of community has always existed. We want to belong somewhere. I mean, if you look, this is like way, way, way back. It wasn't possible to defeat a woolly mammoth and like build a secure structure and care for your children and hunt without a team effort. And societies had to rely on each other and come together. And this woman, Pamela Rutledge, talks about that. She has really great stuff on it. But talking about like the concept of community and how it's evolved. And I think online communities are going to be challenged right now and in the next couple of years to be the best they can be, because privacy online is such a challenge right now. It's something that we all need to be better at. We need to protect our own personal data better. We need to respect the personal data of others. There's also the concept of online harassment and bullying to deal with. And so there's a lot of challenges there. But at the same time, online communities bring us something that in-person communities just don't have, which is the ability to span physical space. I can't just meet up with somebody in California for a beer when I'm here in Chicago, but you bet your butt we can hop on a video chat or we can connect in an online community. And it allows us to have the best conversations with the best people in that space without having to be physically in the same place.
Right. Well, and it's interesting too. I think we're seeing a challenge to online communities. You said, you know, being the best, we have to, you know, expect more from ourselves as far as privacy and respecting others. Where do you see online spaces and online communities happening in this kind of day? And maybe I'm overstating this, but there's not a lot of trust for the platforms where we've had online communities right now. Like, yes, I'm looking at you, Facebook, you know?
Yeah. I mean, my community's on Facebook. So there's no doubt that despite the lack of confidence in their privacy policies and practices, Facebook is a very popular place for communities. And I mean, these are both really great B2C examples, but don't let that fool you into thinking it's not applicable to whatever you do in your industry. Starbucks and Target both host online communities on Facebook. And if I know nothing else, I know that I like to do what Starbucks and Target do. Like,
right. Well, as a marketer, you're saying.
Yes. Well, and as a human, I mean, it's just watching these communities.
You're drinking the Kool-Aid, and by Kool-Aid, I mean double latte frappuccino.
Yeah. I mean, I'm literally like holding a Starbucks that I bought in a Target. So
that's meta. All right.
But what they've created though is something that is really unique. It's a community of like-minded people who share similar interests, who live and breathe the passion they have for Target and for Starbucks, but through the things that unite these communities. So they didn't say, we're going to make the fans of Starbucks Facebook group. They said, we're going to make the PSL, pumpkin spice latte, hashtag PSL Facebook group for people who love all things fall and pumpkin spice. The Target one is for Target moms. It's for those moms who want to bring their screaming, crying kids into Target and don't care if people are going to look at them weird because their kids running around in the aisles. It's like, we are here to unite you and help you and also show you the best deals on baby clothes. Right. And they've brought these people together to have these conversations that are just incredibly passionate. And they never said you have to love Starbucks. You just have to love pumpkins and pumpkin spice. But inevitably, people share stories of how the baristas gave them a free pumpkin spice latte the day after they were diagnosed with cancer. They share these stories about how a mom in the checkout line was struggling to help get her kid in the cart along with her stuff, and the cashier came around and helped hold the cart. Like, there are these stories that they wouldn't hear otherwise that really show what the passion of this community is. And that's something that anyone can take and apply and say, what is it about our community that people care about, that they're passionate about, that can bring advocacy to our mission? That spans everything.
Right. It's interesting. You got me wrapped up in pumpkin spice. But speaking of beer and pumpkin spice, I don't think I hate pumpkin beer. Like, why are you ruining perfectly good beer with pumpkin stuff?
I mean, frankly, I don't even really like pumpkin spice. I'm much more of a peppermint kind of person, but I also don't want a peppermint beer. I don't want that.
I'm sure somebody has made one. I'm sure somebody has, but you're right. That should be done. Yeah. So when you're thinking about where we engage then online, it's really about kind of creating spaces where, like, for our interests, right? So, like, you're saying it's not a Starbucks thing, it's a pumpkin spice thing, it's not a Target thing, it's a crazy harried mom's thing, you know. And we got a little one, so I can totally imagine, you know, that knowing somebody else is going through the same thing, you're like, oh, you're sleep deprived too, cool, we can connect. What does that do for the brand? Like, is it just helpful because, and I'm not a marketer, so sometimes when marketers talk about brands, I'm like, okay, let's not overstate things, you know, too much. Is it just like a sponsorship, almost like a sponsorship opportunity?
No. So if you were to approach an online community as a sponsorship opportunity, you're not going to get anyone to stay in it. Online communities do three things really well. They build trust, because people are having casual conversations. They're not being advertised to. They're not in a webinar. They're having conversations. Right. So they help build trust, especially if you do it right. If as a business, you are giving them access to information, you're sharing things in video where you're making yourself vulnerable, you're letting them see, hear, and know you before you know, hear, and see them. That's going to build trust. Plus, being part of a community that gives people that inside look at things where they're building trust. Over time, it fosters long-term customer loyalty. It fosters retention. And so when you're part of this community, if you suddenly said one day, I'm not going to shop at Target anymore, you also inherently lose that tie to the Target mom community. Right. Even though no one's going to kick you out of the Facebook group if you suddenly stop shopping at Target, the two are so closely tied together.
Facebook mom groups are intense.
I mean, that's true. The actual mom groups. This is moderated by Target, not moms, which is interesting. And it's also about how you set up rules and regulations in your community. But in general, a community, especially that adds value, I'm in communities for the food delivery box that I get, the exercise app that I'm in, a couple of marketing conferences that I go to, a variety of things. Right. This community, you get to know people, you know, it's a place where you can go and ask questions and get answers. And especially for B2B, once it's a valuable resource, it makes it even harder for people to leave you because they're also leaving the community. And so it does foster that retention, but also just loyalty. People are glad that they're getting that added value as a customer. And also it's a research tool. Like I was saying, it's, you would get those anecdotes you wouldn't normally get. You can also put in polls or ask questions or just see what questions other people are asking about things in your industry or with your product or service. And so it's inevitably going to produce research that you wouldn't have gotten otherwise or would have had to pay a lot of money for.
Right. What do you see is working right now as far as driving engagement in communities? Because so to even juxtapose this, we were talking about Facebook. I'll put it up against LinkedIn. So LinkedIn for a decade has been trying to make their groups relevant. Yes. And to no avail, right? But not even kind of doing a LinkedIn versus Facebook conversation. Like, what does work to kind of get conversation happening in a real way, not a forced, hey, I'm going to ask a random question and everybody's going to answer it. And then we'll, you know, we'll have a conversation about it. Right. I'm sure you've seen those. They're painful.
So, I mean, to your first question, like, LinkedIn is just, no matter how great they make their groups functionality, they're never going to overcome the stigma they have, and rightfully so, it just being like a promotional dumping ground. There are other places, like there's a great platform called HireLogic. There's things, WordPress, people create communities in WordPress. There's tons of other places where communities and forums exist. The problem is getting people to go to a new place. Right. And I think that's why, despite the privacy concerns, Facebook's so easy right now, aside from the fact that it's free. granted, you are putting all of your eggs in a basket you don't own, and that's very risky, and you have to understand that. You can build a beautiful custom community integrated with social media on an open source platform like Drupal that's going to be secure. It's going to be monitored. Yes, people have to go to another place, but you can drive a culture that creates that within your community. But you're looking at a $50,000 to $80,000 investment to build a community when you could build it for free on Facebook. So you got to figure out what works for you and your business and your community. And to do that, to the first step in growing engagement is looking at who your ideal members of your community are and asking them, do you have a Facebook?
Okay.
Did you delete it during all the privacy concerns? I mean, we asked our ideal customers that, and a lot of our current clients said, did you delete your Facebook? Most of them said no. If most of them had said yes, I wouldn't have put it on Facebook. That's just where they already were. And so you've got to look at your community, because your community exists. It already does, whether or not you're managing it, whether or not you've created a place for it. And in my guide that I wrote about this, I talk about the difference between an audience and a community. But an audience is who you talk to. It's the list of people, the subscribers, your social following. Your community is who talks to you. And they start to get to know each other and talk within each other. And once they're once the people who talk to you are aware of each other, that's a community. And so I think what there's a lot of things that drive engagement in communities. It totally depends on the type. There's a lot of little things that you can do. One of them is like traditions. It seems silly, but when you say we have Motivation Monday or whatever, maybe Motivation Monday is really great for your workout community.
Throwback
Thursday. Yeah, I hate those. But what we do have is on the first of the month, we publish something that says, hey, if you're hiring, post your job in here. And then do not post it in the group the rest of the time because it's annoying and it's messy. But if you have a job, post it in the thread. And we started on the first of the month every month. Every 2 weeks, I do a 60-second recap of the group. And this really drives engagement because people hate notifications, obviously. And throughout that, though, you'll miss some of the best stuff if you turn off the notifications. And so I do a 60-second video update in an email, so not in Facebook. And people can subscribe to it if they want. I'd say maybe a quarter of the people in our group are actually subscribed to the email. But I do a 60-second or less video update. I do it in a different place every time. So it's funny to watch. Sometimes my dog's in it. Once I did it on an escalator. And I always cover the best of the best in 60 seconds. And then I put the links below. And then I put links to posts that have no responses. And I say like, oh my gosh, so sad. No one loves these people. Please help them. And then I put like any quick polls that people can answer. I'm like, seriously, it takes 2 seconds. And I send that email. And sure enough, polls get answers. Posts get answered. People start engaging with the best discussions that we had over the past 2 weeks. And that's twice a month. I mean, I'm perfectly happy to bug people twice a month for less than a minute. And that drives engagement.
Okay.
So that's something. Knowing the types of people in your communities is important too. You're going to have varied types of members. You're going to have people who are new. You're going to have people who are old, who've been there a while. Some of them are lurkers. They read. Occasionally they'll like something. They're not going to really ask questions or answer questions. You have your regulars, people who are always starting discussions or maybe answering once in a while. You know, you see them from time to time. And then you have your leaders, your people who are driving discussions. You know, if someone asks a question, they're going to be the first person to jump on the answer. They probably have notifications turned on. Knowing those different member categories is really important in understanding how to drive engagement in your group.
Well, it sounds like there's even twice a month, while that doesn't sound like a lot, I mean, that's pretty consistent kind of energy that you're putting into it.
Yeah. And I mean, our group is nearly 6,000 people and we maintain an over 60% engagement rate, sometimes 65%.
Okay. Wow. That's awesome. So just cause it's my podcast and I can ask this. So how so what would you tell an organization or a company like, you know, that is driving a great community? How do you connect with people like me who are not, cause I'm truly not a kind of a commute. It makes me seem way more misanthropic than I really am. It depends on the day. But you know, there are people who are going to enjoy a community who like that. And there's people who are just like, hey, I got enough on my plate right now. I don't, you know, need to be in your group. But do you just use then kind of the traditional marketing Do you just ignore those people?
You know, I'm not going to force anyone to be in the community who doesn't want to be. In fact, we ask questions when people join, and it's, why do you want to be a part of this community, is one of the questions. Okay. But the easiest way to get people into a community and then have them see value of it right away and want to come back is so simple. Answer their questions. If someone has a question about something and you know the people in your community can answer it, you say, you know what? That's a really great question to ask in our Facebook community. I know Facebook community, it sounds silly, go Facebook group, but go post that question in there and see what kind of answers you get. And if they post it and they get good answers, they'll come back.
Okay. Interesting. So kind of still just driving that. Not even that engaged, but you're like just kind of driving the focus like, hey, here is a place. Try it out. Try it out a little bit.
It's like a free trial. Yeah.
Do you see, so, you know, looking at the future, do you think Facebook is going to continue to be the place? I mean, I'm like you, where just like looking at the economics, I get why people are really distrustful of Facebook. In fact, I think they should be way more distrustful. But B, I get why they're not going anywhere, because it's, everybody's there. It's hard to change. You know, it's valuable. My wife is in a new mom's group, and it's great for her.
Yeah.
And so to get all of those people onto a new platform would be tough. Mm-hmm. But do you think Facebook is going to clean up its act? Do you think that there will be other players in the market?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I think that's one of my favorite parts about my job is I go, I have no idea what I'm going to be doing in 2 years. No clue. Mm-hmm. Who knows? We'll see. Will Facebook exist? I don't know. Maybe. And I think that's really fun. I do know that communities will exist and we will find our way somehow, somewhere. Slack communities are really great, especially in business. I'm in like 8 different Slack communities. There's a lot. I think the reason the Digest is so helpful is there's a lot of communities that people are passively members of. They don't even have notifications on. I'm super guilty of this. I'm so engaged in the HubSpot space. I'm like the 5th most HubSpot-y bleed orange person who doesn't work for HubSpot. And like, they literally sent me a custom bobblehead that's like wearing a HubSpot t-shirt.
Nice.
It's great. But they have a community. It's at community.hubspot.com. And I never go in it. I'm the worst. I don't like go pitch in on discussions and answer people's questions because I'm busy and I don't care. But occasionally I get an email from them and it'll say like, we thought you'd enjoy this discussion or we thought you'd contribute to this discussion. And I do. I pop in and I answer it and I answer a couple more and then I go ignore it for like 4 weeks. And there are the regulars, the people who like to go in it every day and contribute and ask their questions. And there's great content in there. But I think having those systems in place to re-engage people and keep them participating is an important part of it. I think B2C versus B2B communities, even though I think they're both very beneficial, they do have to be managed in a different way. People are much more likely to share their new Starbucks shiny holiday cup on Facebook attached to their personal profile than they are to share how they're looking for a job description because they're hiring a new director of demand generation attached to their personal profile. Now, as it could go either way, as people's Facebooks get less personal and we're more protective of our privacy, we put less personal information on Facebook, maybe it's a great place for business communities to thrive. If we say, you know what, it's all personal and silly and I don't care if people see my Facebook post about my Starbucks cup, but I don't want them knowing business things on Facebook. I mean, some businesses won't even let you go on Facebook at work, and we're very aware of that in our community. Maybe it has to go to a different place. And so I think something will emerge. I don't know if it'll be one thing, but so far I would say it's Slack. It's just interesting how Facebook has made this really incredible platform for sharing. I mean, it is a social network for that reason. Slack is a searchable log of all communication and knowledge. That's what it stands for. It's meant to have conversations and then be able to find things in them later. And yes, you can share an image and respond in a thread and react with an emoji, but Facebook is just much better at being a social community. I'm so interested to see where it goes. I mean, I look back at MySpace, and when I was younger, MySpace was my life. I thought MySpace would never die, and you know, I mean, it was good for what it was. So who knows what will be next?
Well, and I think what'll be also interesting to see, and the beginning of this is happening in my completely non-expert opinion on this, is there seems to be the beginnings of the backlash, not just against some of the larger platforms like Facebook, but just people are starting to realize, wait, we don't have time for this. There's so much noise. I still remember going back to LinkedIn, you know, there's this mm-hmm. limit of 50 groups. And I remember people going, well, I can only be in 50 groups. And I was like, why would you want to be in 10, much less 50? There's only so yeah. much time. Yeah. And so you're kind of dogging on yourself for not going to the HubSpot group. I'm like, you're probably plenty engaged in enough areas. There's just only so much bandwidth people have, right?
Yeah. And, you know, that's something that I address a little bit too sometimes, is people will say things like, the worst phrase I've ever heard, can I pick your brain about that? I'm like, hey, that's called consulting, and I charge an hourly fee. And so sometimes communities, people ask great questions, they get insight. Sometimes they're just looking for free consulting. And that's easy to say, and like ours is a marketing community. But even there's one about GDPR and privacy laws and people who have questions about that for their websites, for their businesses. And there's a fine line between helping people and answering their questions and giving free consulting. And I get really burnt out in responding to and participating in communities where I'm sharing my knowledge and my expertise constantly, but I'm more mm-hmm. than happy to go tell people how much I like their Christmas tree setup. Like it's beautiful. Love what you did with the mantle. Like that's fun for me. And so I really admire these communities who've taken what could be a politically charged, anger-inducing, like heart palpitation generating social network and turned it into a land of like Starbucks and Target and puppies and babies. I love it. Like my Facebook right now is like posts from my own community, which are fun posts about marketing and business and video. And then like dog spotting is one of my favorite Facebook communities of all time. People just post pictures of dogs they see where you don't expect to see dogs. That's literally all it is. And so it's like marketing post, dog, coffee, dog, Target sale, dog. Who doesn't want a Facebook like that? I love it.
That sounds fantastic.
I'm not looking to Facebook for news, you know? And so if I can scroll through essentially a news feed of posts from groups, which is what my Facebook is at this point, I think it's great. And maybe there'll be a community platform like that someday where we all sign up and we join our communities and brands latch onto it and evolve them. Who knows?
Well, I heard a great quote. There's, and I'm going to have to paraphrase this. There's no platform that marketers can't figure out a way to F up.
Oh yeah. So true. Marketers ruin everything.
Yeah. So it's got a little bit of, you know, that's kind of, early 21st century American culture for you. Marketers can mess up anything.
Oh, it's so true.
But before we go down that dark road, just one random question before we wrap up. Mm-hmm. Favorite venue to watch music in Chicago?
Oh, man. I was at the Bottom Lounge last night.
Okay.
And I was like, you know, I really like it here. I've been a fan of the Vic a lot, but I think the Metro is probably my favorite.
Right answer. There you go. No, there's no right or wrong. I was just curious. I know you dig the live music, and
I do.
I am now old and not cool. You know, ever since I stopped playing in a band, I don't go out nearly as much. I actually haven't been to the Metro in a long time. But I'll tell you what, way, way, way too long ago when I was playing in a band, that was like the people ask what the best gigs we ever had were, and the top two were House of Blues because it's House of Blues. And the Metro. Yeah. And I still remember walking into, because that's where I used to go see shows when I was like in college and stuff. And it was amazing. Yeah. And I remember walking in at like 5 PM. And man, that place, it was this. I say this with love. It was such a ramshackle piece of just garbage in there. Like the ugly lights were definitely ugly for the place.
Yeah.
But man, what a fun show.
And you know, honestly, like, I don't care if they don't invest in paint, because they invested in speakers and the sound balance in there is so good. The treble is at the right. Like, I just, I feel like I enjoy the sound quality there as much as I do the vibe. And so that's why it's my
top. Yeah, no, for sure. And I was there a couple of years ago, and it had been a while since I had been back. And I forgot how small it is.
Yeah, I love that part about it.
Because when I was young, I'd go in there and like, maybe I was just going to have a lot of experience or anything, but I was like, oh, this place is huge and there's a thousand and all that stuff. Now when I go in, I'm like, wait a second, you could probably stage dive from the balcony onto the
to
stage.
The soundboard.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, that too, from the balcony down. Yeah.
Oh, from, yeah, for the back. Oh, yeah.
So that's why I love it though. Like, I love going to small venues and for sure. Like, I'm going to Lincoln Hall tonight, but for a comedy show, not a music show,
not rock and roll. All right.
Yeah, but still. But when I was, the last show I was at the Metro, there was a part where they came off stage and you expect like an encore or whatever and everyone's cheering, and all of a sudden they just, you hear like a drum hit from the balcony, and then you hear a saxophone bust in the back door on the main floor, and they just like danced their way through the audience back onto the stage right through the crowd. It was amazing. I'm like, that's, you can only do that in a small venue like that.
Yeah. What band was that?
Mr. Wives.
Cool. I have no idea who that is because I'm old great. And not cool anymore. But they have a saxophone, so I like them. All right. Before we dive into my musical past and I have to prove myself not cool, at the end of every conversation, I always ask my guest, what's one piece of advice that you'd give somebody to have a little bit better of a day today? Stephanie, what would your suggestion be?
So my suggestion is, whatever thing you're facing that you have to do next, if it seems overwhelming, just tell yourself all you can do is the best you can with what you have. And also get some Starbucks.
All right. I got to call Starbucks and tell them they owe me some sponsorship money. Well, hey, thanks so much. Speaking of sponsors, thank you so much to Old Irving Brewery. I am pretty much done with my beer. I've got a little bit left because you can definitely, you need to take your time with a hazy IPA, a double dry hopped India Pale Ale, but I've actually really enjoyed it. So that is high praise from a guy who does not usually go. That's been the theme of the season. I've had all these IPAs and been like, huh. Oh, that's not horrible.
Did you know there's a word for it when you eventually start to like hoppier, like more IPA type beers?
Giving up?
No, it's called a lupulin shift or a lupulin threshold shift.
I
learned this recently because I don't like IPAs and it's generally too hoppy for me. And my friend was like, just keep drinking it and your brain will change.
Yeah. I'll stick with my stouts and porters. I like my malt. Hops is a preservative, but I will begrudgingly go, this is a pretty tasty beer.
Nice.
But they got all kinds of great stuff. So oh, yeah. Everybody, by the way, Stephanie, what's a great way for people to get in touch if they want to follow up the conversation? If they want to be in a community with you, where do they find you?
Honestly, like, just go to Twitter and type in Steph Biocchi, B-A-I-O-C-C-H-I, and tweet me. That's fun. If you want to be in my community, it's called Impact Elite. And if you just go on Facebook and search for that, you can find that. If you're not into marketing, then just Twitter's fun.
Cool. Well, we'll make sure we put all the links in the show notes. And everybody, it has been, as always, a complete pleasure having you along for this conversational ride. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Thanks for stopping by. You can find show notes and links in this episode at beerbeatsandbusiness.com. We all know the best way to find out about a new podcast is through our friends. So please help us out and share what we're doing through social media, or just tell someone. And if you could do us a favor and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform, like iTunes or Stitcher, that would be great. Want to get in on the conversation? Send DFish a message on Twitter at DFishRockstar, and we'll save a spot for you at the bar for the next Beer, Beats, and Business.